Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. And could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the latest special edition of the MFC podcast. Today I'm joined by a player that was really making his way in the Motherwell team until, unfortunately, things were interrupted. Tony Watt, thank you very much for joining me today.
No, thanks for having me, mate. It's a pleasure.
Well, we're obviously sitting here in very uncertain times. It's been a tricky couple of weeks for us all. As I say, you were really making strides in the team. You'd scored your first league goal. Things looked to be going really well, and your fitness especially was noticeably much improved from when you came in. I guess the overriding emotion is one of frustration that things have been broken up a wee bit.
It's been a tough time for everybody, but I can't really complain about it because it's happening all over the world. It's not as if it's an injury or something that's personally set me back. I really enjoyed my few weeks there, and well, a couple of months it'll probably have been, and hopefully it continues. Obviously, we're just waiting until this virus gets out of the way, and the club I really took to the club, and the club I feel really took to me. And for me at this time in my career, this stage of my career, it's perfect. It's a perfect fit, and it's also a club that's been very successful. I know it's ran very well on and off the park, but including the way they come out of the debt, the way they actually engage with fans. You see the season ticket numbers just now. Everything's going really well, and I'm just really happy to be a part of it. And I was happy to get in there and get involved in the team that's third place.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about the fact that you came in after the window. Your time in Bulgaria had come to an end. The transfer window draws to a close, and you've not got a club, but I believe it was Alan Burrows that got in contact with you initially just to express an interest in having you come along in training.
Yeah, he messaged me. I've known him just through football for a while, not really a close relationship, but I've known him. I've always respected him. And he messaged me saying, what's your plans now? I think the way I've seen it in the press is Motherwell tried to get a striker and couldn't get one in. So it kind of worked well for me, and it gave me a few weeks to prove myself to the manager for the future. And hopefully I'd done that, and the manager was really positive with me every time we had a conversation, and he was just transparent. He told me what he wanted and what he needed from me, and I felt like I could deliver that, given if I had more time, and that's what I mean. Hopefully I get more time for it.
Is that something that's quite unique in football? In terms of Alan, he seems to take on all sorts of jobs, really. You see him when the snow or the ice is coming, he's trying to clear the streets outside Fir Park, trying to ensure the game comes on. It's something that kind of I apply to my working life. I don't like to be told to do something that the boss himself wouldn't do as well, and he seems to just turn his hand to absolutely everything, and that seems to build up his rapport with the players and help them settle in that bit quicker.
Yeah, what his beliefs are, what his principles are, it kind of shines through the club. You can see that, and you can see the positive steps the club are taking, and I think he's a massive part of that. I think he's very open, very honest. It's actually weird because never before would you speak to somebody in such high positions like that and call them mate, and I still feel weird calling it, but he's brand new, and he talks to you as if he calls you mate by text, and you're thinking, oh, should I really reply saying mate here? And he just gets along with you, and he's open, he's honest, he gets a laugh, but business-wise, he puts everything on the table for the club. You can see that, and the club have took took massive positive steps in the last few years while he's been in charge.
What about the manager in terms of coming in? He's another one that is very forthright and very to the point. But he seems to really get the best out of players. And I don't want to say, because you were obviously playing at a high standard, and you played at a high standard for the majority of your career. But in terms of what he does, he seems to get players that have maybe... I'm trying to word this properly, but maybe lost their...
No, you can say it. I know exactly what you're touching on. Like, kind of... Not ugly ducklings, but he tries to get the ugly ducklings and turn them into a nice wee swan, innit? That's the kind of analogy. I don't know the exact one, but people who are maybe stuttering a bit...
Yeah, they've kind of lost their way in the game, I guess.
Yeah, puts them through the machine. And no, I made the decision to leave Bulgaria. I went over, tried it out. A lot of things weren't the way I expected it, so I was lucky to get out in January, just walk away. I was happy to walk away from the contract. Didn't bother me one bit. And I came here, and if you're asking me, could he manage at a higher level, he would have went over and taught them all sorts of lessons over in Bulgaria. He's a much better manager than what we had. I really like the way he works. I wouldn't want to stay longer if it wasn't for that. Do you know what I mean? I know it's a great club and that, but you need the manager to be good. It's like you had in Bulgaria. It wasn't really like experienced managers. It was a kind of strange atmosphere. But he would have went over and he could have turned that team into a really good team. You can see straight away if the manager's got good ideas or not, and he's got really good ideas.
And you made your debut the day after signing for the club in the 1-1 draw at St Mirren. You've come off the bench in a game that it really felt that we were in total command of. And although the reaction after the game, I guess you've got to be a bit diplomatic and say, well, yeah, we've got another go at this. But was the one feeling a wee bit of disappointment that the game and the tie wasn't done and dusted after that first game and took a place in the quarterfinals of the Cup?
Yeah, it was tough because, if you can remember, the conditions were incredible. It was like a wind machine had been turned on at Paisley. I thought we were the better team. We were unlucky. We had deflection. And we probably should have went through. And then when we came back, it took us 45 minutes for Park to turn it on. And eventually we did do that. And we just couldn't get that fifth goal. And it was a wee bit upsetting because you come in and you think, I can make a mark here quickly and get us through to the next round. And it was just not to be. And unfortunately, we never got through. But it's just one of the things. The team had set us up to be in third position before I came in, and I just wanted to help maintain that and help that. And the season obviously came to a halt. And if you could have put your stamp on the cup game, then it would have probably gave you a wee bit of a good feeling that I'd done something. But since I went in, I didn't really do much because the team had already been in third place. So I never really helped improve the team. But I did buy into what the manager was doing, and I feel like you can understand why they're in third place. You want to kind of continue that and hopefully sign up again, and they'll be doing it again next season.
That cup game for me kind of epitomises everything that it is to be a Motherwell supporter, really. Yeah. The first half was quite frankly a shit show. You're 4-1 down at half time. You think, well, that's us, we're out. There's no coming back from this. And somehow you get the second goal, and then the atmosphere changed. You just felt that St Mirren suddenly were on the back foot. And then the third goal comes, and within a minute it's 4-4, and there's chances to win the game in the 90 minutes. Extra time was quite cagey. I guess both teams were absolutely shattered. But for you personally as well, you've played a couple of cameo appearances for the club, and then you go on to play 120 minutes in a game that there's so many highs and lows. That must have been a demonstration for you that you were moving forward in terms of fitness and match sharpness.
Well, I get told before the game I was only playing 60 minutes. I think they were going to bring me off. And then at half-time, the manager looked at me and just said, I'm going to need more from you. And I was like, shit, I must have been shit in the first half. And he went, you're not playing 60, you're playing more. So I thought, oh no, like, I had thought he meant I'm going to need more for you, as in you're doing crap. But I was just trying to run about, and we just kept conceding and kept conceding, and we all had an off day first half. And then I was like, oh no, first 15 minutes I just need to go and run my pan in. And luckily enough, I scored, and we did bring it back. And the one regret I do have is with the penalty. I sent the keeper the wrong way and I put it over the bar, and I just want to slap myself in the back of the head every time I think about it, because you do the hard part and then you balloon the ball over for 12 yards. It's embarrassing. Do you know what I mean? It's being a professional footballer, missing the target. But they were all brilliant with me. The manager just said you can't miss from 12 yards, but then they were all positive about how I played 120 minutes, how much I ran, and I felt it was good. I felt it was like it was a good kind of stepping stone for them to see what I could do in terms of, even if I wasn't fully match fit, they know I would go to the wall for them in the games.
Yeah, I think you certainly showed that. And then to go on and play from the start against Accies in the derby, we talk about how crazy the midweek game was. That was slightly more subdued, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was still a mad game. It was the wind was mad. We obviously went down to 10 men. We probably had a few chances to win, so it was quite a crazy match. It was quite a derby feel to it as well. There wasn't many bad tackles. I know the sending off wasn't a bad tackle, but it was still quite a derby match. It was quite a intense match, but we felt we should have probably took the 3 points there as well.
And the first league goal came against County. As it stands just now, the last time you pulled on a Motherwell jersey, you come on as a sub late on and get a goal in a game that would turn things around. Obviously, form wasn't that good going into the game, and them conceding an early goal. Teams with less of a backbone and less resilience would have just folded in that scenario, but to go on and beat a Ross County side that have done well in their first season back in the top flight.
In last season, they were good as well. Remember, they were winning every week, so they came up with that kind of winning mentality, and they probably improved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think that the way... Well, I say we because I'm part of the team now, but it's quite embarrassing when you say we, given the fact that they done so well to get to third and I come in, and when it's the high point, do you know what I mean? They've all grafted pre-season, so I just felt that watching for the side, when we concede, the way the manager wants you to play is in the other team's face, and teams can't keep up the pressure for 90 minutes, especially when you're pressing, pressing, pressing. So you kind of understand why we get the goals back and why I think maybe everybody was kind of getting tired and getting to a point where the season had dragged on. And I don't know the excuses. I'm not giving any excuses because I wasn't tired. I wasn't fatigued because I hadn't played a lot of games. But you'd like to think that there was a reason for the wee blip we had. And then obviously we turned it around, the Ross County game and then the Hearts game as well. We probably should have comfortably won as well. So it's just one of the things that it was a really good result against Ross County. We went 1-0 down, but again, showed resilience, showed fighting spirit. And like we also done the Hamilton game with 10 men, and we done coming back for St Mirren. So although we went through a kind of sticky patch, I know we got beat off St Mirren, but we actually had a good bit of fighting spirit shown in that kind of time.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Again, did you feel that with that County result and the Hearts result as well, which, you know yourself, Tynecastle's a very difficult place to go to, whether they're riding high in the league or fighting out at the bottom as they were at the time. They were fighting for their lives, scrapping for every point. So it's never going to be an easy game, particularly with the players and the budget that Hearts have got. But did you feel that there was some momentum coming back into the team and into your game as well, given that you had scored a couple of goals in successive midweeks?
Yeah, well, I wanted, obviously, the Aberdeen game to go ahead because we were in a rich vein of form in terms of we took 4 points out of six, but the Hearts game we should have probably took the 3 points, so we'd have been really, really fired up for it instead of maybe a week before where we were probably hitting a bit of a blip. I think the Aberdeen game we could have went on and won it and really put some space in between the two.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. I spoke to Keith Lazar last week and we're talking about the potential of the season coming to a conclusion. Obviously, I don't really want to get involved in all the what's and what's not there because it could go on forever. But it felt like we were in the driving seat obviously there was a 2-point gap between ourselves and Aberdeen. That game televised under the lights. These are the kind of occasions that must have attracted you to Motherwell when you signed.
Yeah, it's, I know Fir Park. I've known it since I was obviously young, and it's local. It's got a good feel about it, and that would have probably been the biggest game I'd have played, obviously, since I'd signed for Motherwell, probably in a few months after it as well. And it was a big 6-pointer, it was, and I know it's quite cliched, but we did. If we won that, we would have been out, not out of sight, but we would have been in the driving seat massively. And just unfortunate enough that this, everything happened and it got cancelled on the day of the game. And I don't know. I don't know what the league's going to do. I don't know if it's going to come back, if it's going to stay the way it is. But it's just, I hope that there's a lot more games like that next year, because as a club, Motherwell deserve to be up that end of the table.
There's been so much that's been on since you arrived. I'll go backwards and kind of try and move forwards and just kind of talking points that have arrived since the Duke came in. The return to action of David Turnbull being a massive one. And from following you on social media, I've noticed how impressed you've been by David Turnbull. Now, I guess that his circumstances are almost kind of in reverse to yourself, given the link with Celtic last summer and potential to go there. You obviously started your career at Celtic and enjoyed great success coming through. We'll not talk about your debut, but the goals against Barcelona and such like. The move didn't happen, obviously. Circumstances dictated that. But he's shown incredible character to come back. And I can see from what you've said that you believe that he has an immense talent.
Oh, he's brilliant. He's one of the players where if you were to come to training and stand on the sideline, you'd know exactly what the manager talks about every time he raves about him. And you've seen him more than me the year that he scored the goals. And he was unfortunate. It wasn't even an injury he sustained while playing. It was just an angle that he couldn't go and sign somewhere because it was a risk. But it would maybe not have been a problem in the short-term future, but that's probably what made it harder for him, because he never actually done it and knew what it was. And I just think that he's the type of player that his mindset is strong, he believes in himself, so he'll get his move whenever he wants his move. And he's a really, really talented boy. He is. I know there's a lot of talented boys in that squad. He's one of them, and I do believe he could go and play whatever level he wants to play if he just keeps doing what he's doing. And he's been unlucky. I never seen him at his most confident. I've seen him when he's obviously worrying about getting screws taken out and going getting this and going doing this. And do you know what I mean? I don't know the ins and outs. That's why I keep saying going doing this. But stuff to do with his injury, stuff to do with his rehab. And it's probably playing a part in his head. And he's still playing in bounce games, and he's still controlling the tempo of a game after being out for 6 to 8 months. And it's really incredible the age he's at, the maturity he's got on the ball. He's a real, real top talent.
How impressed have you been at the club in the way that they've handled this? I think there's clear signs that David's a massive asset to the football club, and you obviously protect your assets. But I feel that even things like the documentary that was made and the way that the club have shielded him from some of the attention that would have come from the potential move to Celtic, which would have been life-changing, there's no getting away from that. But they seem to have really managed it well and supported the boy back to the point where he's now able to at least make cameo appearances and hopefully is closing in and being a first-team regular and doing the business again.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can't fault the club for the way they've handled it. They've really, really looked after him. And I think he could have probably come back weeks or maybe a month before, and the club made sure that he was itching to play, but the club were saying, no, we're making sure we do this rehab right to protect him, because he would have been a massive asset on the park. The club, the manager, everybody could have rushed him back, but they made sure that he's looked after first, and that really symbolises what Motherwell do. And they are a real family club, and you can tell that from the stands, from in about it. You can tell anything. You can tell it the way they handle anything. And his case has been really eye-opening for me just going in, because he just signed a new contract when, if he waited till the summer to have a year left, if he didn't get his move in the summer, he could have went and took a lot of money in a free transfer. So the fact that he wanted to sign the deal shows that Motherwell's looked after him from the outside.
Yeah, and it was a massive boost. It was obviously a massive boost for the support as a fan-owned football club. It's perhaps that wee bit of security in the sense that we now know that further down the line, when the time comes, that David moves on, and it's maybe hard to consider as a fan, but it's inevitable it will happen, that the club will make some money. So that's obviously a massive thing. The sense of community you've touched on quite a few times, and the work that the club do away from football is quite brilliant as far as I'm concerned. The trying to fill Firth Park and raise money for so many important charities locally is just it's a really special thing. And that, again, is something that you seem to be really passionate about, in terms of the club has got its place in the community. I think it's the focal point of the town, maybe, in terms of it's a hub that so many people meet at on a weekly basis. So many of us have met great friends through supporting the football club. And I think that the club knows its responsibilities to the local area. There's people that are really struggling just now due to circumstances, quite frankly, out with their control. The club taking on these things and organising these initiatives is really quite special as far as I'm concerned. And I just think it's brilliant at a time where we could all say, well, we'll down tools and look after ourselves. That's never, ever the agenda at Motherwell Football Club.
No, they do seem to be doing as much as they can. There's always something going on in a positive way, and that's what I mean. I can't speak higher of the club, because everything I've seen since I came in, everyone's been spot on. And I've seen they try to fill for part for the, was it Chris's House, the charity. They are really, really positive, and they don't need to be doing that. A lot of teams will be trying to do it to stay afloat, but Motherwell have handled ourselves well over the years, that they'll be in a comfortable position to handle this, but they can also help others, which is really, really refreshing.
And the fans continue to rally around as well. The season ticket numbers are up massively. That again is something that I wonder whether guys like yourself and especially like some Mark O'Hara, who the club are clearly keen in keeping a hold of, does that play on the players' minds that the fans are that devoted and dedicated to the club? Does that encourage players to stay about for that wee bit longer and want to be a part of it?
Yeah, well, obviously, if the fans are welcoming into you, it gives you a good feel. If they were booing me every week, then you'd want to walk away and not come back. It's the same the other way. If they're all good with you, you want to give a little bit more back. And I think Mark's the type of boy who will want to do the same. And I think, by all accounts, he's enjoyed his time at Motherwell. So if it works for him, then it could be a really good move for him as well. And he's done well every time he's played. And especially since I went in, he was really, really positive on the team. And the work he puts in was, it didn't go missed. And I think the fans noticed that. I think he got a few man of the matches. I think he even scored a few goals. So I think he'll want to stay and build on that. And I think that is partly to do with the fans. And I think that's a massive compliment. You can see the passion they show. The players run to the corner whenever they score. And there's always a good atmosphere. And it is. You want to pay them back and you want to, well, repay them for their support. And you can see the numbers they've bought in the season tickets. It's brilliant, because it's uncertain times. But Motherwell are also transparent with that. And there might not be fans in the game in 2020, but I'm sure Motherwell will do something to help them out and sort this all out if it does come to that.
And on arrival at the club, it was interesting, because I was listening to the podcast you did with Danny Denham the other week, and it was really, really interesting. It picked up in quite a few points that I very much agreed with, and one of those was the misconceptions around you. I think that there's been a lot of very unfair criticism about your attitude and such like. And I think you've buried them all since arriving at Firth Park. And in the way that you handle yourself as much as anything else. But on the park, your effort's absolutely spot on. You really seem to get what the football club is about. And from speaking to you,
that's a lot of just hearsay and speak, and there's no rumours, there's no truths, there's no, nobody's come out and said it, nobody's, it's just strange. It's the same when people say the way I play is lazy. It's probably the opposite. I do come back and try and help out and try and get involved instead of just standing in the middle of the box and scoring goals, where if I'd done that, I'd probably get more numbers for myself. And same at St Johnstone, I could have stayed up front and we could maybe lost a few more games or drew a few more games, but I'd have had a few more goals. But I prefer helping the team, and maybe I should be a bit more selfish sometimes, but it's just not really in me. And people, the people that say stuff bad about my attitude, quite frankly, the people that don't matter much to me, and probably the people that have got a gripe with me for some reason. I don't know that reason, but they really don't matter to me. And it's done now because nobody's really got a leg to stand on when they say that.
Yeah, and that... Does that ever affect your confidence?
Never.
No.
Not anymore. No. Never used to, but it used to annoy me when people said bad stuff about me. I was thinking, but then I look at who's saying it and I'm thinking, oh, that makes sense because he's an idiot, or that makes sense because he means nothing to me. Do you know what I mean?
I just quite often think that some of the negative voices can be the loudest one. Now, there was a certain journalist that you mentioned that basically couldn't write a shopping list most of the time, but
exactly.
In terms of the just nonsensical points, but the thing is, these voices quite often get heard by far too many people, and that must be a kind of frustration at times that they're allowed to just kind of print whatever they like without any basis to it.
No, but that's just gutter press, isn't it? That's just, to be fair, I probably have more sympathy for them now because they're but 50, 60 years old and writing stuff about 23, 24 year old boys. Actually, I was probably 18, 19 at the time they were writing it. And they would swap my career for their career in an instant. So is it jealousy? Is it bitterness? Is it lack of fulfillment in their life? Is it lack of achievement? I don't know, but to be fair, I just look back and think, well, he's a bit pathetic. I can laugh at him. If he writes bad stuff about me, well, I would just phone him. I could phone him up and say, what career would you take, mine or yours? Yep, thought that was the answer. Fine, that's fine. Do you know what I mean? It's not
absolutely.
It's not really make much sense writing negative stuff all the time. It was obviously just a gripe there, and that's, it is what it is. It's just, it's pathetic. An old man coming for a young athlete who's doing his best to be as good as he can, and if my best isn't good enough for somewhere, it's going to be good enough for somewhere else, and that's it.
Can you see why, though, that would badly affect younger players making their way in the game? I guess I'm very fortunate in the fact that so many of the young players are the kind of heartbeat of the side. I think of guys like Alan Campbell, and I was speaking to the Jim Griffin yesterday, and he described him as what he thought was the kind of poster boy of the set up at Motherwell, and just the way that he carries himself, his dedication to his fitness and improving himself on a daily basis.
I was probably a bit... he's probably the best I've ever seen in terms of dedicated to the game. He's probably got the best attitude I've ever seen, honestly. And the thing is, it's a kind of shame because people look at his attitude and his work rate and think, that's the best part of him. It's not. He's very good on the ball. He's unbelievable on the ball. He scores goals now. He gets assists. He's an animal. He doesn't stop working. Doesn't stop running. But his technique's really, really good. It's hard to get the ball off him. It's very near impossible to get the ball off him when he gets started. And it's a shame because... And it's not a shame, but in the context, it's a shame because people think he's more of a worker, more of a dog, when really he's a really, really good footballer. And he is the poster boy of the club because the way they instill, and I don't know if it's always been like that or if it's when Craigan was there or if it's the manager that's instilled, I don't know. But he's really the epitome of what the manager wants to do. And I don't know who instilled it now, but there's something in that boy's head that just shows you that
if you work as hard as him, you'll go far, far away. And it's probably not as possible to work as hard as him because he's honestly first one in and last one out every day. It's the stuff he does. I wouldn't be able to get out of bed if I'd done most of it every morning.
But that's maybe what they call the, or many kind of refer to as the free stuff, isn't it? The stuff that goes on behind the scenes. That
yeah.
If you want to do that and you want to be the best you can be, then maybe you need to be doing that wee bit extra just to ensure you've got that leg up in everyone else. Because
well,
I suppose coming through, you're competing against some of the boys in the youth team, aren't you? Because there's not going to be contracts for every single one of them.
Well, what it is, Al won't leave any chance. He won't let somebody else determine where he goes, and it's really, really, it's a special quality he's got. And I try and do some gym, I try and do extras for myself, but he really is married to the game, and he deserves to go as far as he wants to go. And I honestly believe he's one of the boys at the club that could go and play any level he wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we talk about the youth players, and I'm kind of trying to avoid this being a bit of a kiss-arse exercise, but Alan Campbell's dedication to the game, but that seems to be ingrained in everyone that works at the football club, that they, on a daily basis, they're pushed from the top to work as hard as they possibly can to be the very best person.
A lot of clubs only look after their first team boys and try and instill a mentality and a way of playing in them, but this club seems to instill it from young. The youth teams, if you're playing a reserve game, they all want to play exactly the way the first team are playing. And if you don't do it, you don't play, and that's it. If you want to go against it and do your own thing, then you won't be playing at Marwell's first team if you're a young boy. But if you do really buy into it, then you've got half a chance, especially if you've also got talent and technique that comes along with it.
How much of that is owed to the likes of Laz and Stephen Hamill and David Clarkson, guys that have been around the club and come through the ranks themselves? Does that experience help as well, that they can share their journey through the game and their experience of being in the football club?
I think, well, everybody you named there has had a really good career, and they were all really good players. You kind of, alongside McFadden, you put the four as kind of the better players in the last 20 years for the club, and I think the manager really set out how he wants to do, and he's really let it seep through the cracks and go down the way. And all the teams, obviously, Morris Ross, he takes the reserves, so him and the manager have obviously put a plan in place for the reserves to go and play the same way as the first team. And like you say, if you're in the youth team and you want to play for the reserves, you do it the same way as the first team, because if the reserves are doing it the same way as the first team, if you don't do it for the reserves, what's the chance you've got of playing the first team? And I think that's what's really separating the manager from other managers in the league. You can look and you can say these guys are doing well, but the manager's really got a style of play, and he's got his own kind of stamp on it, and you can kind of separate that from the other managers, and that's what probably will get him a top job in front of other people in this league.
As we move towards kind of winding down in this podcast, we're obviously doing the 14 and 14 days to support Sam H, Scottish Association of Mental Health. The downtime, it is quite dangerous. We spoke for a brief minute before we came on about it being a bit difficult to fill your days and just the lack of routine that has been caused by this epidemic. You've obviously taken to the social media platforms and the gaming side of things and seem to be entertaining a hell of a lot of people. And also, I suppose, getting the opportunity to engage with some of your teammates, your fellow teammates, your former teammates, sorry. And maybe just kind of escape for a couple hours a day at a time that we badly need it. That is so important, isn't it, to kind of keep your mind active and just give yourself some sort of escape from what is quite a grim reality just now. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when this will all end. And I guess it's scary as well. You're not communicating as much or not getting to see your loved ones. Many people feeling quite isolated just now. It's tough times.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's difficult, the fact that everybody's kind of stuck in the house. But I do believe if you get a routine going and you do things you like to do, then it'll help it pass. But I do I wouldn't blame people if they're out of the routine and they're doing stuff that they wouldn't normally do, because we're not in a normal time. So whatever makes you happy and gets you through it, just obviously do. But if you're struggling, then get help. Go and read books. Go and do stuff to get your mind off it. And hopefully people can get through this and not hurt themselves or hurt mentally or physically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's so important. And I guess the message is that everyone's trying to push as hard as they can. Is if you are struggling, there are platforms there to reach out to, and people there for you. No one has to struggle alone, and certainly the work that the club are doing, hopefully the small work that we are doing through these podcasts and everything else, that there is people there. In terms of my own social media, my DMs are always open, happy to discuss anything really with people that are struggling, because to be perfectly honest, I have shit days as well just now. And
yeah, I think we all do. I think everybody struggles at their own pace. I think some people handle it better than others, but there's no shame in being sad, there's no shame in being upset, and you just do need to try and get past it, because if you keep running and running, eventually things will catch up with you, and it's not nice when they catch up with you.
That's so true. I think it's easy to kind of bury your head in the sand, and that's when it really does kind of all blow up in your face. So yeah, there's so many channels that you can take advantage of and use, and hopefully when we come out of the other side, there'll be plenty of football and better times. You are obviously at the kind of crossroads in terms of, we don't know what's happening. We don't know if this season's still going on. We don't know about next season starting. What are your short-term goals in terms of, I would imagine it would be just to keep yourself ticking over and being ready for the point where you're told that you can return to training. But looking a bit further forward, is the ambition to remain at the football club and continue kicking on?
Yeah, well, we obviously need to wait and see what's the kind of problem after the virus is, but I'd like to think that I'll be here next season and obviously try to push on and finish what I started in terms of trying my best and help the club.
And is it quite incredible? I saw that it's a kind of timely manner, I suppose, this, that 8 years ago today you're making your debut for Celtic and scoring twice against Motherwell. We've just about forgiven you for that, but
I know, that's what I said last night. I tried to be nice about it and say hopefully the first of many so I don't get slaughtered.
Is that a bit crazy to consider that it's 8 years ago?
Well, no, because everything does fly. It's you kind of do feel like the time just passes you by, but it's quite incredible that it was 8 years ago. It feels like a long time ago, but if you can remember it like yesterday.
Yeah, I could just remember feeling fairly comfortable in that game, and then it just all went pear-shaped when you popped your head around the door. So that was
I know.
You took both the goals well. So as I say, we managed to move on from then.
Just forgiving me.
Yeah, just about, mate. Just about. Mm-hmm. Just to finish up, I would like to thank you, Tony, for your time today. It's greatly appreciated, and I'm sure this will make for a very interesting listen.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, and it's a pleasure to be on and keep doing the good work you're doing.
No, it was certainly well, and thank you to everyone who has been listening and everyone who has been donating. We've had to raise the target due to the fact that we went through it after only a week, so it's done fantastically well. Hopefully we can continue to make a few donations if people can spare a few quid. It is greatly appreciated. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
You're not 19 forever, pull yourselves together. I know it seems strange, but things, they change. Older woman, ever so slightly younger.